Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Report from the Middle East. I just spoke with the Prime Minister of Israel and Lebanon. I'm pleased to announce that their governments have accepted the United States proposal to end the devastating conflict between Israel and Hezbollah.
Now, if you don't know Middle East stuff, and I always don't want to assume, I never want to assume that people do know, let's do a real quick geography refresher, because we did this one time and a lot of people thought that it was valuable. And, you know, look, I know when it comes to the Middle East, it's not, you know, Americans aren't great at geography to begin with, and it's hard to remember, you know, who's what where, and you might have seen this headline and thought, the war in the Middle East is over. No, not quite. So hold your left hand up in front of you, palm away, okay? If you're married, that's the one with the ring. Just want to make sure we don't get any mistakes, okay? That's Israel, very, very roughly, okay? That's Israel. Where your fingertips are, that's Lebanon. That's Hezbollah. Hezbollah is the terrorist organization operating with the support of Iran in Lebanon. You say, how can a terrorist organization have an army when they also have an army? Don't ask questions. I'm just telling you what's going on, okay? Your pinky, like the left side of your hand, pinky finger, that's the Mediterranean, okay? Where you're like the bone for your wrist, that's where you cross over to Egypt, okay? To the east where your thumb is, That's Jordan. The Jordan River runs along the side of your right side of your hand. Where your knuckle for your finger, your main finger, index finger, in that vicinity, that's the West Bank. Okay? That's where you have, like, the Palestinians control that, sort of, but not the Israeli controls it. And going back to your left side, the bone, go up from the bone a little bit. Between the bone and the knuckle of your index, of your pinky finger, that's the Gaza Strip. Okay, that's what you need to know, roughly. There's more to it than that, but that's enough, okay? So this is the fingertip war. It's the fingertip war. It's not the bone to the wrist war. You follow? Bone to the wrist is the big one, the original one. That's where you had the invasion. That's where they popped up out of the tunnels and where they, you know, dropped in with the helicopters and killed everybody, is that one. The fingertip came after. But the fingertip's important because the fingertip war in Lebanon is, that's a country. That matters, okay? So that's just, you know, and I know for those of you who know the Middle East, you're like, Andrew, really? Have you not talked to people? I don't tell you that in order to, like, make you feel bad if you didn't know. I tell you because in case you didn't know, now you know. And it is hard to remember because, you know, we don't study geography and we don't focus on it. And as many times as you might have seen the map on TV, it's hard to remember this stuff, okay? So I don't want anybody to be confused as we're talking about this, what I'm calling the fingertip war. There's a ceasefire in the fingertip war. And, you know, I appreciate that President Biden yesterday, in talking about this, gave a little bit of a history of how this all happened.
For nearly 14 months, a deadly conflict raged across the border that separates Israel and Lebanon. A conflict that began the day after the October 7 attack by Hamas on Israel. Hours later, at 2 a.m. in the morning, Hezbollah and other terrorist organizations backed by Iran, attacked Israel in support of Hamas.
Right. Following up on what Hamas did out of Gaza, right? That's the issue. Separate entities, but not separate entities. All backed by Iran, even though they have different names, if you want to think of it that way.
Let's be clear. Israel did not launch this war. The Lebanese people did not seek that war either, nor did the United States.
And I mean, some Lebanese people. He's wanting to separate the legitimate citizenry of Lebanon and the legitimate government of Lebanon and the legitimate military of Lebanon from Hezbollah, which is this terrorist organization that operates within Lebanon, right, and has operated out of the south.
All told, this has been the deadliest conflict between Israel and Hezbollah in decades. How many of Hezbollah's senior leaders are dead, including its longtime leader, Nasrallah? And Israel has destroyed Hezbollah's terrorist infrastructure in southern Lebanon as well, including miles of sophisticated tunnels, which were prepared for an October 7-style terrorist attack in northern Israel.
Yeah, and that's an important thing to process, because remember all of these tunnels that go out of Gaza and the tunnels that were used in the attack and the tunnels that have been used to, you know, and the Israelis have been in there trying to clear the tunnels. I mean, the tunnels are a problem. There were tunnels in our tunnels in the north, too. And the idea there being that, you know, Hezbollah would have wanted to or did whatever use that as a way of attacking Israeli citizens in the north of the country, in the fingertip part, right? That's also an issue. So there have been massive losses. Israel has really been, you know, decimating its opponents, both in, you know, the wristbone war and the fingertip war. You know, Hamas, Gaza, Hezbollah, Lebanon. But it takes a toll on Israeli resources, and it's, you know, it's good to have some kind of a pause for Israel, for Lebanon, for there to be a little bit of a realignment here.
Under the deal reached today, effective at 4 a.m. tomorrow local time, the fighting across the Lebanese-Israeli border will end. Will end. This is designed to be a permanent cessation of hostilities.
Which is good. You don't want something that's just temporary. I would say at this point calling it permanent is aspirational, because it is certainly within the realm of possibility that both sides pull back, both sides recuperate, rearm, resupply, and then say, and go again, right? I mean, that's entirely possible. Now, that would be primarily up to Hezbollah and Lebanon, and if the Lebanese do what they're supposed to do, and if they clear the space in the southern portion of their country, and they prevent Hezbollah from rearming, realigning, restaging, then we'd be in a good shape to not have this flare up again. But who knows what the future may bring?
Over the next 60 days, the Lebanese army and state security forces will deploy and take control of their own territory once again. Hezbollah terrorist infrastructure in southern Lebanon will not be allowed to be rebuilt. And over the next 60 days, Israel will gradually withdraw its remaining forces.
And that's the idea, is, you know, there's the now and there's the soon and then there's the eventual. And anything can go wrong in the soon. We're in the now. Ceasefire is happening. We're in the now. But anything can happen in the soon. And then once the soon takes shape, well, after that.
Let me be clear. If Hezbollah or anyone else breaks the deal and poses a direct threat to Israel, then Israel retains the right to self-defense consistent with international law. Just like any country when facing a terrorist group pledged to that country's destruction.
Which is a good reminder, because they didn't start this. They retained the right to respond. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They were doing what they were supposed to do in the beginning. And, of course, as the victims in all of this, at least from the beginning, Israel certainly has the right to respond if need be. And, you know, he says, look, the whole goal here is not just to put a pause, but to put an end. And let's not forget what's still going on with Gaza and Hamas and the hostages that are still in their possession.
And so now Hamas has a choice to make. Their only way out is to release the hostages, including American citizens, which they hold. And in the process, bring an end to the fighting, which would make possible a surge of humanitarian relief. Over the coming days, the United States will make another push with Turkey, Egypt, Qatar, Israel, and others to achieve a ceasefire in Gaza, with the hostages released and the end of the war without Hamas in power, that it becomes possible.
And we certainly hope for a broader deal. We hope to bring Saudi Arabia in on this. The president talked about already having been working on that. Of course, President Trump had his own, big successes in bringing more agreement, bringing more people to the table in the Middle East, including Saudi Arabia. But, you know, what's his picture for the future as he is about to leave office?
A vision for the future of the Middle East, where it's at peace and prosperous and integrated across borders. A future where Palestinians have a state of their own, one that fulfills this people's legitimate aspirations, one that cannot threaten Israel or harbor terrorist groups with backing from Iran. A future where Israelis and Palestinians enjoy equal measures of security, prosperity, and yes, dignity.
And that's a wonderful picture. It is. It's a wonderful picture. Whether it's possible, it hasn't been yet. It hasn't been for a long time. And, of course, that requires the militants or anti-Israeli groups or, you know, anti-Zionists, if you prefer to call them that, all around Israel to all agree to this, to extend, you know, full diplomatic recognition, which they have, some of them never have done. Some have. You know, Jordan actually historically has pretty good relationship now with Israel. That's, again, you know, where your thumb is on the hand, okay, across that river, okay, that's Jordan. But the other ones to the north and some to the south, which is, you know, more like the Saudis, where that's a whole different branch of, you know, Islam. That's the Sunnis more than the Shias, which is Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas. Anyway, the possibility of a Palestinian state, under what circumstances, with what capacities, unable to attack Israel, sounds like a nice thing to say in practice. What would that really mean? If they're a sovereign state, are they not going to have a military? If they're going to have a military, then they have the potential to attack Israel. If they're not going to be a military, how do they handle their own defense? Those are all the questions. And will they agree? You know, will these people that have been hostile to the existence of Israel, you know, from the river to the sea, Palestine will soon be free. That's a chant to eliminate Israel. Will the people who chant that to this day in the West Bank or in Gaza or in Lebanon or in Iran, or, you know, sympathizers of a different flavor in, you know, Yemen or Saudi Arabia or Egypt or Turkey, for goodness sakes, you know, or Iraq, will those people agree? Well, it hasn't happened yet. It's happened for short periods of time, maybe even decades at a time, and then it doesn't happen, and so that's why we are where we are.
Today's announcement is a critical step in advancing that vision. And so I applaud the crazy decision made by the leaders of Lebanon and Israel to end the violence. It reminds us that peace is possible. Say that again, peace is possible. As long as that is the case, I will not for a single moment stop working to achieve it.
And it's a good thing to work on. But, you know, going back to at least President Carter, United States presidents have been working on this because it hasn't manifested yet. So, you know, we'll see. This is a good step for one part of the conflict, the fingertip war again. And, you know, let's cross our fingers and hope that it works out well, because certainly so. Now, you do have real questions, fair questions. Who gets the credit? Is this a Biden administration win? Certainly, it happened during the Biden administration. But when during the Biden administration, you know, had it happened in June or July, that would have been one thing. But this is November, almost December, after a presidential election in which the incoming president has a very different approach toward the world than the current lame duck president. The Trump team is claiming this as their victory. The world is already adjusting itself to the new reality of an incoming President Trump. And Iran and Lebanon, they're scared. They're rightly scared. Though Biden speaks of full Israeli support, Trump was full Israeli support. And what would happen under him? What might happen in Lebanon? What might happen in Iran? What might he be willing to do in order to support Israel? Well, you could certainly make the argument that Iran and the Hezbollah members in Lebanon are scared of what happens in a month, 2 months. And they would rather create a ceasefire now, create some space, rather than risk the wrath of Trump or whatever that might mean. What would Benjamin Netanyahu do under the actually supportive and protective umbrella of a Trump administration? Oh, no. You know, I mean, that's a, you can see. And so you ask yourself the question after 14 months, why now? Well, just good diplomacy by the Biden administration? Possible. Or all of a sudden, Biden is getting the Biden administration is the beneficiary of the change in world structures coming as a result of the anticipation of the Trump administration. I go 65-35 in favor of the Trump, it, just because of the timing. It's hard to argue the timing, right? They've had a couple of weeks since the election to figure out what they want to do. Here, this. Let's try this. And we'll see. Again, like a lot of these things, you know, we'll kind of see what happens. 437-1620. Meanwhile, Benjamin Netanyahu goes on TV yesterday and says, look, this is good because this lets us focus on Iran. And then he specifically doesn't say any more about that. He says, I won't say any more about that because, you know, they're pretty cagey about what they're doing with Iran. For obvious reasons, Iran is, you know, on its way to getting nuclear capabilities. And that's always been a continuous threat. And that cannot happen. You know, this is a pause to help them resupply and recuperate. And this allows them to separate their focus from fighting a two-front war to fighting basically one-front war on the Southwest, the bone, you know, the wristbone war against, you know, Hamas in Gaza. 525, so a big deal. Not the biggest of deal, but of deals, but a big deal, no doubt. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The holidays are right around the corner. Here's why you should hit up Jim's Firearms in November. 1. Beat the holiday rush. 2. The best selection. Find exactly what you're looking for before it's all gone. 3. Pay with layaway. Lock in your gun purchase now and pay over 60 days. 4. More time for customization. And 5. More time to take it easy and have a stress-free season. Shop smart and local with Jim's Firearms. Jim's Firearms at the corner of Sorrento Road and Blue Angel Parkway.
So this new dose is, well, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
An official message from Medicare.
Medicare plans change from 1 year to the next. And this year, it's important for you to review your current coverage and compare all your options during Medicare open enrollment. Compare health plans, drug coverage, and costs. See if you can save some money, and don't forget to make sure your drugs are covered. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You're listening to the National Association of Broadcasters Marconi Award Media Market Station of the Year.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Are you typical of Earth women?
I'm about average.
Like my suit jacket, if I were wearing one, is suddenly getting a little more pointy and my hair is getting a little more hairspray in it. 528 here on News Radio 92.3, but no makeup for me, thanks. 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Man, the 80s was a weird time. Do you remember? Remember how weird it was? Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, Thanksgiving is almost here now. Travelers, a lot of them in a rush to get where they're going as it stands today. Nationwide, there's a couple hundred flight delays, but not very many cancellations. Here in Pensacola, everything moving right on time, just as we would hope. Progressive lawmakers urging President Biden to move on marijuana legislation before his term comes to an end in January. A group of Democrats have written a letter calling on the White House to move marijuana from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 2 controlled substance. And the USDA is reviewing a complaint against the Alpha Genesis Primate Center in South Carolina. This, of course, is after the big 43 monkey escape from that facility earlier this month. A few of the monkeys apparently still on the loose. That complaint is currently being reviewed by the USDA and accuses the facility of violating the Animal Welfare Act.
You know, it suddenly occurs to me that this might be that rare time when calling a thing Monkeygate might actually be the right description of the problem.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I mean, how'd they get out? Through the monkey gate. Just trying to offer them a little bit of help here.
No, I appreciate that. That's good.
Thanks so much for the update.
I'm going to add that in. Monkey gate.
Monkey gate. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. We're there. I think we're there. 529 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Escambia County Fire Rescue graduated their first class of cadets, which is pretty cool. 15 from the Fire Academy, 12 full-time and 3 part-timers. So that's good news, and they still have to go through some courses and certification. It'll take about 7 weeks, but we're adding 15. Did I say part-timers? I meant volunteers, sorry. We're adding 15 new firefighters to Escambia County Fire Rescue. It's great. This is the first graduating class of this academy, so this is really, 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 really good thing. Got that note yesterday. And they just implemented this in May of this year, so finally paying off right away. We'll be back.
News. I'm Chris Foster. There is a pause in the fighting between Israel's military and Hezbollah militants in Lebanon, with a ceasefire now in effect.
Thousands of Lebanese civilians have begun to return to their homes near the Israeli border, but around 60,000 Israelis forced to evacuate communities in northern Israel have been told it's not yet safe for them to return home.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. More members of the new Trump administration are announced.
Jamison Greer as U.S. trade representative with experience implementing tariffs. Economist Kevin Hassett will head up the White House National Economic Council, and Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. He was nominated to lead the National Institutes of Health. He is a physician and an economist. He had been a critic of COVID-era shutdowns.
Fox's Doug Luzada. President-elect Trump wants John Phelan as Secretary of the Navy. He's a private investment firm partner, art collector, and Republican campaign donor. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 62 degrees. We've got cloudy skies in Pensacola this morning. The Escambia Sheriff's Office is looking for a homicide suspect, and they're asking the public for help. 35-year-old Arrington Moultrie is currently wanted on warrants for homicide, possession of a firearm by a felon, and obstruction of justice. Deputies say he's connected to an incident at a home on Hampton Road earlier this month. Investigators say they were called to that home for a shooting, and they found a man nearby with a gunshot wound. That victim then died. The victim's believed to be a suspect in a robbery at the home. The victim died from his injuries. If you have any information on Moultrie's location, contact the sheriff's office, or you can call Crime Stoppers. The Miami Dolphins are on the practice field. They're getting ready for a game tomorrow night against the Green Bay Packers. Quarterback Tua Tagovailoa says, they're not taking the opportunity for granted.
I feel like a lot of the guys cherish this opportunity that we're about to get to be able to go over there to Lambeau, be able to play over there at a historic field. And it's just a blessing. It really is.
And they're looking to stay in the playoff picture with a win. They'd improve to 6-6 for the season and up their Thanksgiving record to 6-2. It would also be Miami's first win in Lambeau Field since 2010. Now, Casey DeSantis, Florida's first lady, leading an effort to ensure that every kid has a magical holiday season. That's what she said yesterday. They're launching the Hope for the Holidays toy drive that's meant to benefit foster families, Hope Florida participants, and Florida families in need. Donations are being accepted until December 13th. You can buy new and unwrapped toys and have them sent to Hope Florida, where they'll be distributed to nonprofits and families. Get more information at myflfamilies.com. DeSantis said that every child should get to experience the joy of opening a present on Christmas Day. The Escambia Sheriff's Office has purchased new mobile camera units. They say they'll have all of those out for the holiday shopping season this year.
And so we're having one. We have already deployed it on 9 Mile Road, the target on 9 Mile and University, I guess. And then we have one at Tradewind Shopping Center, and then we have one at Academy, where
University Mall.
And that's Sheriff Chip Simmons. He says if you see one of those units at a store, park next to it. They're linked directly to the Sheriff's Office Real-Time Crime Center. He says there's currently 5 of those units out and about. They plan to deploy them anywhere there might be a large crowd this holiday season. And a kitten rescued from a drain pipe near the Escambia County Juvenile Detention Center this week is in recovery and maybe up for adoption soon. The kitten rescue happened on Monday when a sheriff's office employee heard the kitten meowing for help from a drain pipe. Animal welfare officers responded. They crawled through a drainage tunnel to get to the kitten, who turned out to be healthy, just a bit underweight and distressed. The cat's been named Pipes. It's in the care now of the Escambia County Animal Shelter and expected to be up for adoption as soon as later this week. 535 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 62 degrees in Pensacola, 61 in Gulf Breeze, and 61 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index is set for release at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect a year-over-year increase of 2.8% for the core reading, which excludes food and energy. China's industrial profits dropped by 10% in October from a year ago, in another sign that Beijing's stimulus measures have yet to reverse a slump in corporate earnings. That marked the third straight month of the profits decline, following a roughly 27% year-on-year plunge in September, the steepest decrease since March of 2020. New Zealand's central bank slashed its interest rate by 50 basis points, marking a third straight cut to its benchmark rate. In October, the agency had also cut the cash rate by 50 basis points as well. Futures are slightly lower ahead of key inflation data. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 123, the NASDAQ gained 120, the S&P 500 up 34. That's Your Money Now.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola this Friday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. That is this Friday at 9:30 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
DJU winds up looking for Ja'Kai down the field. He's got it. Touchdown. FSU.
The Florida State Seminoles wrap up the season this Saturday night as they host the Florida Gators for the Sunshine Showdown.
Florida takes on Florida State at 4 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware, All Season Service Network, A1 Auto Diesel Repair, DeFranco Gas, and Calvert's in the Heights.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need.
It's easy to sign up for text alerts.
Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, 538 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, had a chance to talk with Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Happy Thanksgiving in advance.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Is your family a one-meal or a two-meal family?
We are a one-meal family. Unfortunately, my two boys are two-meal families. Oh. I say, unfortunately, it depends on your outlook on things.
For them, it's good. Yeah. I kind of admire people who can pull off two Thanksgiving dinners in a day. I mean, I feel like that's, you know, that's superhero stuff. I can't do it anymore.
I had to do it, and I said, I'm just going to have one helping and then go to the second meal, but that never works out because there's desserts and
I'm always amazed, you know, we're usually like three or four is when we eat something like that, and then by about nine, my boys are like, what's for dinner? I'm like, what? Dude, you just ate. And they're like, yeah, 5 hours ago. I'm like, yeah, just. But, you know.
Help yourself.
Yeah, guys. It's all there in the kitchen.
Still out, yeah.
It's all there in the I did all the work already. You know, that's on you now.
There's a pie over there.
That's right. That's right. That's actually a good question. Let me make a note here. All right, there we go. You made me think.
God knows what this is going to be.
No. Okay. So I do the frivolous topic, right? Where we argue about things that don't matter. But I'm always getting ideas from the weirdest of places. And I'm not saying you're a weird place, but kind of, I got an idea from you. So
I've been called worse.
It's all gonna work out in the end. So one thing is that we had a break-in at some cars at a retirement village. Is that right?
Yeah. Some clown decided that he would take advantage of an opportunity, I guess, and try to break into some cars.
Like opening doors or actually breaking windows and breaking in.
We got a call that this guy's trying to break into cars in the parking lot of a assisted living facility, which is on Crossville Street. An employee witnessed 43-year-old Jacob Edward Whalen attempt to break into a vehicle in the facility's parking lot. So they called the sheriff's office. We get there, and when we get there, this guy takes off. He is wearing a blue Florida Gators sweatshirt. I'm not saying that for any reason other than it's easy
it's
to
just
spot
identifying,
these type
right.
of people. And then he also had a green A's or Oakland A's. It's still Oakland A's?
Yeah. Oh, I guess. I don't know.
It was a green Oakland A's.
It's a real blendy. He was really, really blending into the background here.
Yeah,
okay.
It bad camouflage is what I call it. But anyway, he took off running. Unfortunately for him, we had a canine walker in the area. We unleashed the canine and we ended up picking him up near a church parking lot. So he was charged with, who's he also a registered criminal, a registered felon, and we arrested and charged him with attempted vehicle burglary. So that happened on the 21st. So good job to our deputies, good job to an observant employee there, and also obviously a good job to canine Walker, who was named after fallen deputy Roosevelt Walker.
How long can a canine hold a suspect? Like in practice, is this like 30 seconds, 5 minutes? Like how long can he sit there and chew on his leg and growl at him and keep him in submission?
You mean how long do they decide to do it? They would probably do it as long as they're...
That's what I'm wondering. Like, you know, they're waiting until the handler to come and release them, but, you know.
Yeah. Typically, they're on lead whenever we do that.
Okay.
If it's a felony suspect or if it's something that we're trying to... If we see him and we're, you know, they won't comply, then they will get them off lead. It's usually less than 20, 30 seconds that they have to hold on to them. Usually they get the point pretty well.
So they don't really get to the point where the suspect becomes a chew toy.
No, unless the suspect continues to fight, then
they get what they get.
You know,
okay. Yeah. All right. I was just curious, you know, how long they can subdue or keep somebody subdued. And, you know, my brain asked weird questions. That was one of them. Let's see. You guys have, you're also using your, I don't know what you call them, the cameras that are on like portable bases that they can put up a tower and see the whole area. I saw them at Blue Angels Weekend out on Pensacola Beach, and I've seen them around at different places,
but you've
deployed some of those for Thanksgiving. At the fair, right. And you've deployed some of those for Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah. If you recall, we're still trying to, you know, ramp up our real-time crime center, which integrates the cameras that are already out in our community into this one location.
I thought that was already active.
It is. It's active. But we're ramping it up, getting more and more capable every time
we... You're always expanding ability.
Yeah. We're trying to get more cameras, as we talked about before, on Massachusetts, where we're continuing to add cameras and bring them online. So to me, when I say ramp up, it's because I have this vision of having a pretty decent network on the roadways where we can monitor traffic and try to find the criminals off of it. So we, in the process of doing so, we had the opportunity to purchase some little small trailers, but there's like a telescoping type of camera system on it. And then there's like four or five cameras on the top of that. It's solar powered, but also has a generator backup, so we can deploy them. It's not secret. It's marked, you know, green and gold.
Oh yeah, you can't miss them. If you get near one, you'll know what you've gotten near. Yeah,
yeah. So we started looking out in the back parking lot and thought, well, why wouldn't we put these out? Big shopping opportunities are coming around, and we anticipate a lot of people. in these various parking lots. So we thought we would put them in parking lots just for added security. Not saying that the shopping centers themselves or the stores themselves don't have their own surveillance, but this is tied directly to our real-time crime center. And so we're having one. We have already deployed it on 9 Mile Road, the Target on 9 Mile and University, I guess. And then we have one at Tradewind Shopping Center. And then we have one at Academy,
University Mall. Okay.
Yeah, so we're putting those three up already, and we may actually deploy one in another area as we start to look at
where. How many of those do you have?
We have five total.
You have five, okay.
Yeah, sometimes they're on loan because people know we have them, and we put them typically where there's a large crowd. We'll probably have one at Five Flags Speedway. You know, we'll have one at any time we have a large event. They work very well. Again, they're solar powered, so they can stay for days at a time.
Do you find that they serve as an effective deterrent in the area?
I think that's the greatest value of them. Yeah. I know that if I was shopping, I would park near that camera.
Yeah.
As I'm walking in and out of a store, when I come with my, whatever shopping gifts I've picked up. But also just for the sake of people leaving my car alone.
Yeah.
I would find that location, park as close as I can.
You may not be able to park.
It's like you want to park under a light.
Right, right. Yeah. There may not be a cop to park by, but you can park by the cop tower, and that's the same thing.
And again, it's
better.
So everyone knows it is a direct feed to our real-time crime center. Now, I can't promise that an analyst is watching that particular camera every time. But I can tell you if there's anything suspicious at all, we pop it up and we can relay that to the deputies that may be arriving.
Again, my brain asks these kind of questions. Has anybody parked under your Escambia County Sheriff's Office camera tower and proceeded to engage in illegal activity themselves?
Not that we have. Okay. Not that we have noticed. They're not quite that brave. We were concerned about people tearing up a camera.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have a camera that also points down at our camera. And unless you get all, I guess you could wear your hoodie and some sort
your
of
Florida Gators, Oakland A's.
If you
ensemble.
Do that, we'll notice what you're doing.
Tear
it up, and they're pretty expensive, so it's certainly a felony, and we should have a pretty good picture of you.
We're talking.
And we will make you famous. You will
even more so. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were talking about cameras on Massachusetts, elsewhere, the camera towers. We're about halfway through the ShotSpotter 3-year term. Is that right?
Yeah, about halfway through.
It seems like we haven't heard much about that lately. Is it?
They work in conjunction. I think that maybe there's not as many shots being fired. Maybe there's good news there to be had. And when I say maybe, it's because the numbers are down. I agree with you. We haven't had as many shots.
I will take that. This is not a complaint. That's good news.
I mean, this is what I envisioned with the increase in cameras and the roadways and our ability and desire to stop stolen cars, spin them around and get them stopped pretty quickly. Word has spread. I mean, we have undercover operatives out there in the community, and word has spread. You know, don't meet me over here because I know there's a camera, or if you do it, I can't drive this car because it's they know about it, and I don't want them to pass. They don't know where all of our cameras are, all of our license plate readers are. Mm-hmm. You could probably study and guess if you want. But my thought and my hope is that it's a deterrent, like the cameras are going to be, that people decide, you know what, this isn't, I can't do it. So maybe, and then hopefully it'll pass.
And look, a world in which the criminals are concerned that there might be cameras or plate readers or whatever in places that they're not expecting, that's a world where they're discouraged from committing crimes. And they may, whether that means they don't do crimes at all or whether that means that they go somewhere other than Escambia County, we'll take it either way.
Well, and I do think that there's an opportunity, or there's a possibility, a pretty good possibility that, if I'm inclined to hurt somebody or harm someone with a weapon, and I want to do it right now, they're not thinking rationally. They want to do it right now. But if they think, oh, I can't do that because I can't get there from here, and I'm not sure, and the cops might see me, and I don't have an extra, hoodie or anything. Then maybe they don't do it, and the next day they decide it's not worth it.
The time and space needed to calm down.
Yeah.
Maybe
count
solve
to 10. Maybe we'll
take it.
A couple hours to go will go by, and you don't feel the need to commit this crime.
You have also been launching the co-responder program, something that I'm assuming is sort of similar to what PPD does. But you tell me if it's different and in what ways. And I know you were chief there for a long time, so it's a lot of things you did there you've brought over here. And I mean that. Anyway, but co-responders, tell me what that means.
Our co-responder unit is a sworn deputy with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office co-responding with a clinician from the Lakeview Center.
Okay.
And what they do is they handle preemptive type of conversations with people that are on their list, that are clients, so that they make sure that they're on the medication that they need. But also they make sure that the people that they encounter, many homeless people, get the resources that they need. Mm-hmm. So we have a specialist. You know, we have a deputy that's also been trained in how to handle those that have a mental illness, but also a Lakeview Center, which is the state of the art for regards to dealing with the mentally ill. And that allows our deputies on the street to answer calls for service without being bogged down or tied up for hours with a banker act or something that they have to do. Now, I don't know what PPD has at this point. But
it's pretty similar is what it sounds like to me.
Our system, I know, is only one of only two in the state of Florida where we have Miami-Dade has a system similar to us, where we have a mental health unit that is both a co-responder unit, but plus a unit that's internal to our sheriff's office and offers resources to our employees for PTSD and you know, high profile type investigations that they might deal with.
Okay. Yeah, I was at Lakeview yesterday sitting down with Dr. Joseph for about an hour. Stuff we'll publish a little bit later on, you know, probably next week sometime. But, you know, learning a lot about, you know, what they deal with. And it's nice to see the, you know, law enforcement working with clinicians, working with Lakeview, you know, trying to get solutions and not just, you know, arrest our way out of a problem that is really not an arresting situation, right? So,
well, we talked about it when I was with as county administrator. I was also chief corrections officer, and most of the people that were in the infirmary were there for mental illness. So obviously there's a need there, and I think that we would be you know, doing a disservice if we didn't address that need where it was.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a financial save. It's better for them, and it's better for the county. Because, you know, it costs a whole lot less to treat somebody, and there's funds available usually than it is to incarcerate them.
Well, our operation is from a grant. We have a grant to fund three deputies and three clinicians. Now, once that grant's over, we're about halfway through that grant as well. It's one of those things where you evaluate after the grant whether you want to adopt it in your general fund budget, or if you want to try to get a grant. We continue to try to get, you know, recurring grants, so we'll do that. I can tell you that you talked about two things. You talked about a shot spotter. I'm still trying to determine whether that's worth the funding if it comes from our budget. But I can tell you that the co-responder unit is certainly worth it. And I would certainly have a conversation with the county commission about funding that after the grant is over. It's only three deputies, but it's three deputies that do a much needed service.
Very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons is Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for innovating, coming up with new and better ways to do things all the time. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
And, you know, it's funny what I was kind of thinking about when I was asking the question about if a criminal shows up, kind of. I was thinking, like, if somebody decides to, you know, at night and they need a place to do their drugs and they show up, you know, and they're like, oh, here's a good light, you know, or I don't know anything like that. That's what I had in my head. But then it occurs to me the reverse is also true. Is those would be a good place to do, like, your, you know, your Facebook Marketplace exchange, or, you know, if you want to meet somebody to do some kind of a, you know, deal. I mean, you're literally in front of the sheriff's office when you're at the parking lot in front of Academy or whatever. So that, you know, you can think of it as a useful tool in that regard too. 552 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a home improvement project you need to work on, you broke something, you need to fix it, you need to improve something that you don't want to be broken, or you'd build things for a living. I mean, I don't know. You could be doing a remodel, or you could be building a home for what, you know, everybody's got different level, okay, of need for a hardware store. My level, very low. Very low. Very low skill, very low interest, and a lot of swearing, usually, when I'm doing hardware stuff. But people at the other end of the spectrum, you know, who build things for a living, same thing. Pensacola Hardware is your place. And if you've not asked them what they can do for you, well, I mean, I dare you. Like, go after work today. You know, you get off the job site, go down to Pensacola Hardware, and just say, Andrew McKay's always talking about what you guys can do for contractors. Show me. I'm a contractor. Here's what I do. How can you help me? And then they'll answer you. And then you can decide, well, oh, all right, well, that makes a lot of sense. I can see why this might be valuable. Or you say, nah, I don't need it. I mean, what's it cost you? You know, half hour of your time? Versus maybe you discover, oh, okay, now I get it. And then you discover why they have been around for 173 years, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola as the oldest company in the entire state of Florida and one of the 50 oldest in the entire United States. You know, like before the Civil War, like before there was Levi's. Pensacola Hardware has been in existence. So, I don't know, stop by. See what it might be able to benefit you. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
It's weed, not alcohol. It just relaxes me. I'm a better driver when I'm high. I do it all the time, no problem.
THC reduces your reaction time by half a second, impacting your attention, coordination, and lane tracking. A delay of just half a second can be the difference between life and death. Stay alert, stay alive. Don't drive high.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Transportation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
You just fulfilled the first rule of law enforcement. Make sure when your shift is over, you go home alive. Here endeth the lesson.
You ever have a band that has like their one hit and then you buy the CD and you're like, and that's why? I still own the CD from Juliana Hatfield 3, and they have a couple of other good songs actually, but there's a reason you didn't hear an awful lot about them afterwards. They had this hit and that was it, right? This is a 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Up for adoption by the end of the week. Hello.
Hey, buddy. You want to talk about the news?
Yeah.
All right, go on then.
You caught me a little indisposed here. Hold on.
He's wearing all of his clothes, everyone. No, I don't want to make it seem like something it's not. Right? You are. I can only see your head, but you're fully clothed?
Well, you know, most of the way.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Go on.
Well enough to do the news anyway. Thanksgiving's almost here, everybody, and people are in a rush to get where they're going.
No.
As it stands this morning, 220 flights have been delayed, but all is good here in Pensacola.
Almost all.
Well, there's one flight to D.C. showing a very slight delay.
But, I got 2 hours. The flight to D.C.
Has it been moved up?
Washington Reagan on American is delayed to 8:15.
Yep, I see it. Okay.
Yep. It's so close.
But as always, if you are flying out today to go visit family, show up at the airport a little bit early because of the extra rush.
And the weather.
And the weather.
We have weather going on across right. The whole north of the country is getting snow, if you want to think about it that way. So,
boy, having been away from the north for a while.
I know, it doesn't seem real,
yeah,
right?
I know.
What's that white stuff on that map?
Does it even exist anymore?
Yeah.
Progressive lawmakers, Andrew, are urging President Biden to move on marijuana legislation before his term comes to an end in January. A group of Democrats have written a letter calling on the White House to move marijuana from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 2 controlled substance. And Aaron Rodgers apparently has yet to make a decision on his career after this season is over. During an appearance on the Pat McAfee show, Rodgers said he's unsure about whether he wants to play in 2025, but he said the Jets would be his first option if he does.
All right. Okay, so this is how little I follow the NFL currently. Is he playing this year?
He is.
He's in games this year?
Yeah. Yes.
For the Jets?
Yes.
Is he any good?
Yeah, it depends on your definition of good.
Well, I mean, I know he's a formerly great quarterback.
Right.
Is he good now as the seasoned pro who his knees are bad and he doesn't have any endurance?
Well, let's just say they don't have a coach right now. They have an interim coach.
Okay. All right. All right. I mean, again, I don't. The only thing I really follow in the NFL is I have a couple of teams that I like watching because they're good. I mean, I like watching, you know, Lamar Jackson. The Ravens are fun to watch. I like watching the Chiefs, of course, fun to watch. I like watching the Eagles. You know, I mean,
the Dolphins. Just,
yeah. I mean, teams that have good quarterbacks, high scoring offenses are entertaining to me. And so I'll enjoy watching those games. But because I'm not invested, I don't have a team other than the Lions, who are awesome this year. The NFL is not my scheme, so to speak. I'm much more into the college. And even there, you know, a fan enough. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not baseball. 437-1620. What was the other thing I was going to tell you about? Don't know. Misplaced it. File this in the category of pains you didn't realize you weren't experiencing anymore. CSX has moved along. That's all. I did get word that they already did fix Kempstrom, but he's going to try to get him to go back and look again. And 10 Mile and Kingsfield are apparently good. So
listen on air at 92.3.